As a reminder, the information provided in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek advice of your therapist or qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or mental health disorder. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. The host, guests, and podcast network are not responsible for any actions or decisions you make based on the information provided. Now, let's dive right in. Hello, friends, and welcome once again to everybody's favorite therapy-themed podcast, This Is This Changes Everything. I'm your host, Sarah, and with me today are you guys, the listeners. That's right, it's another listener call-in episode, and I'm so excited for this one because, man, you guys are asking questions that a lot of these questions I have personally dealt with, and I am so excited to be able to share like firsthand experience in answering some of these. So what are we talking about today? We are going to be talking about long distance relationships, how to maintain connection in long distance relationships when you are maybe have different attachment styles. We're going to be talking about friend breakups. What happens when you are in a friendship and your friend has maybe a new partner that's not so great. We're going to be talking about that. We're also talking about boundaries with parents, especially when it comes to big life events such as weddings. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the questions from you lovely listeners. And let's get deep, shall we?
Hi, Sarah. I really enjoy your podcast. And I just had a question for you. I am recently engaged at the beginning of this year, and I was no contact with my parents for a second time before I got engaged. I guess my question is, how do I work through trauma of the past but still deal with the guilt of not talking to them because I'm still up in the air of inviting them to my wedding? So I appreciate your time and thanks for a great podcast.
Well, I can tell that this, just by the sound of your voice, that this is something that's like weighing really heavy on your heart. And I want you to just take a big deep breath and step back and really look at what this is all about. I mean, this is you on a very special day. First of all, congratulations. Congratulations on your engagement. Congratulations on taking that step with a partner. And, you know, it's so important on these days that are very special and very important for us to make it what we want it to be. This is a day that you get to be selfish. And I would imagine if you have trauma from the past, that maybe being selfish and putting yourself first wasn't something that came naturally to you or isn't something that you're very familiar with. Usually when there's trauma of the past, it's accompanied with a lot of people-pleasing and a lot of self-abandonment to survive out of a survival need. So it might feel very unfamiliar and really different and uncomfortable to put yourself first and to put you and your partner first and the family that you guys are creating in this, you know, new celebratory moment together. And I am saying this as somebody who, when I got married, did not have my father there. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of wedding is it that you want? You know, is this an, it could go two ways. You know, I don't know what the trauma is. I don't know what happened in the family that created these kind of boundaries or, you know, kind of set the stage for there to be these feelings around inviting them. But I imagine whatever it was really intense, was really emotional, was really like really affected you. And it is absolutely okay to set some boundaries with parents and put yourself first. And okay, so there are a few questions that I would want to ask you, you know, as you're making this decision, some things maybe you can think about, or maybe you can, I don't know, kind of consider in this. is this an opportunity, or do you see that if like this could possibly be an opportunity for you to mend the fences or to like work together to come to some sort of solution or heal past wounds? Is there an open door for that? Is this something that's really important to you? Do you want your family there? Do you imagine when you picture your wedding, do you picture your family being there? If that is the case and the door is open to do some of the work, then maybe that's a great goal that you can set for yourself and for your family, that you want to put some effort into working on the relationship so that they can ultimately be at your wedding if that is something that you want. But if it's not something that you want, that's totally okay. You do not have to have them there. I think it's important to kind of say, like, what is the ideal wedding for you? Also, if it is a situation where having them there is going to take a significant amount of your like emotional energy and mental, I don't know, like even just like your ability to be present, if they take that away from you, is it really worth it? I think that this is a day where you are going to want to be focused on you, on love, on the family that you guys are starting and this new journey that you're embarking on. And if your mind is caught up in the past, that may be a place of feelings of sadness, feelings of fear of, you know, bad stuff. So we don't want that on your wedding day. I am all about putting yourself first on days that are important for you. Now, if it were your parents, I don't know, maybe like a really important, their 80th birthday or something, and they wanted all the members of the family to be there. And you were saying like, oh, I don't know, like, should I show up? Should I not? Maybe that's an opportunity where you, for them, do some of the work or maybe engage in those like social situations. If it's not something that's like too extreme and too like hard on your mental well-being, you know, but this is your wedding and it's about you. And we do not get a lot of opportunities to be selfish and going to make things about us. So I say any opportunity you take. And if your parents don't understand that, if they don't understand why you don't want them there, it might be the situation that this is like an unfixable problem, like an unsolvable problem. But if they're able to recognize, yeah, you know, we haven't been getting along very well, you know, things have been really rough, I want to be there, I want to support you, then go to therapy. Get a family therapist. You know, therapists are great for individuals, but they're also really, really great for families. You can come in with a problem, with a goal of we want to work past, you know, whatever situation it may be so that we can have a lovely time at the wedding. And maybe a therapist can help navigate what would need to happen before you guys felt comfortable doing that. Okay. So, you know, I don't want to give you just the advice of, feel it out. You know, I want to give you some actual tools or things that you can use, something that you can work on in this time in between. You know, I think support groups, reaching out to people who have gone through similar situations, there can be so helpful. And I know that there are support groups out there for people who are estranged from their parents or people who have challenged relationships with their parents. There's a great 12-step program called ACA, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics, but it doesn't have to just be alcoholism. It could be any way, any trauma or disorder or something that showed up in the family that created like this parent-child dynamic. And so I really encourage you to check that out, Adult Children of Alcoholics. And they have a checklist where you may be an adult children of an alcoholic if, and they have this whole list of things. And if you identify with those things, oh my gosh, get yourself into this program. It is so helpful. I remember when I was in grad school, I went to it was an assignment that we had where we had to go to a 12-step program. And I decided to go. That one happened to be near where I was and at a time that worked. And I was like, oh, Adult Children of Alcoholics, all right. I was like, oh my God, I relate to every single thing that these people are saying. This is so exactly my experience growing up. And they help you work on setting boundaries, help like recognize healthy and unhealthy behaviors and enmeshed relationships with parents. So if you have a struggle with a parent, and whether they had, you know, substance use or not, if there was trauma in your childhood growing up, I highly, highly recommend ACA. Okay, what other tools do I have for you? There are some books out there that may be helpful in like kind of working through this situation. There's a book called Toxic Parents, Overcoming the Hurtful Legacy and Reclaiming Your Life by Susan Forward. And the book talks about relationships with parents and how to set better boundaries. And then there's another book called Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, and Take Control of Your Life by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. And this is really good for boundary setting. You know, helping you identify when a boundary needs to be set. I think a lot of this is going to be like reviewing what the boundaries are, how to set those, what the consequences of the boundaries are, and maybe looking at patterns in the past of times where you've maybe been generous with your emotional energy to your parents and they've violated those boundaries, or like the patterns and how that's gone in the past that'll help you kind of predict how it might go in the future. But I really want to stress that this is your day and you do not have to do anything for anyone. You do not have to do anything you know, and if anybody is like funding the wedding with those strings attached, we're like, oh yeah, I'll pay for it. But like you have to buy, then, you know, they're not really doing it for you. They're doing it for them. And we don't like that either. So if this is a solvable problem, reach out to a therapist, see if you can get somebody to help with maybe some family therapy sessions. If this is an unsolvable problem, then give yourself permission to enjoy your day. And you can think, Sarah said I could be selfish. Go ahead. Permission to think that. I am saying that you can be selfish, because usually people, like I said, from those trauma backgrounds are going to be the people pleasers, those givers, and your version of selfish is like everybody else's regular. So this is the day where you get to put you first, and I just really wish you the best of luck in navigating, oh, the challenges that come with trauma in childhood and, you know, relationship dynamics with parents, especially when you have to set firm boundaries. And I want to just like free you of the guilt and those feelings of guilt. This is nothing that you asked for. This is nothing that you created. This is a result of the, you know, parents that they showed up as or didn't show up as. And you know, just like put yourself first. And I congratulations again on getting engaged. And I wish you guys the happiest of lives together as you start out on this amazing journey, and one filled with love and healthy boundaries. All right. Well, we talked in our last question about weddings, and weddings come with a big old price tag, which means you're probably somebody who's going to want to do some budgeting. And maybe you're somebody who's not getting married, but you just need to do some budgeting or need to get your finances in order or want to save money. Well, guess what? Rocket Money has got you. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. I just did my taxes, and Rocket Money made everything so easy to do that. I categorize like it. I say like I'm doing any of the work. Rocket Money is categorized everything for me, so I know what's tax deductible, you know, how to like apply all that to my taxes and get all the deductions I need. It's great. It was so easy. And they're so good at finding anything that you may have subscribed to, you know, in those nights where you're like up late and it's like midnight and you're like, yeah, sure, I totally need to subscribe to this. And then maybe you're like me and you realize you have two subscriptions to the same thing. So shout out to Rocket Money, because they reached out to me and were like, do you really want two of these? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I don't even want one. Cancel those for me. And Rocket Money has over 5 million users, just like me, and who have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. And you guys have taken screenshots of this and been like, oh my God, Sarah, you were right. Look at how much money they're saving me. So Thank you for doing that because I love being right. So stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TCE. That's rocketmoney.com/TCE, rocketmoney.com/TCE.
Hi, Sarah. I'm calling because I just really need some advice. I just ended my 3-year relationship with my boyfriend after finding out that he has been cheating almost our entire relationship with someone from his past who I thought was over and ended, but it turns out it was all a lie. So I'm still processing everything. And I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do next. I don't know if the right thing is to ask questions so that I can get answers and clarity on everything and details on everything, or if it's better for me to just let it go without knowing anything. If I'm supposed to be, I'm hoping that he reaches out, but then I'm hoping he doesn't. Again, just because I want to know exactly what happened or if that's even good for me to know or not. I don't know what I should take as my first step. I'm trying to take care of myself. I've been through something similar before, but this is just a little bit different because now I'm questioning just everything. Everything for the last 3 years of my life, I'm questioning everything. Do I just try to heal and move on without the answers? Or do I give him an opportunity to give me the answer? Is it wrong to still want to be with him after all of this? Because part of me does, because I really do care, but the other part of me doesn't, because I don't think I could be the same version that I gave him this entire time because of what he's done. So it's just a lot of questions. I just really want someone to point me in the right direction on what you suggest. Thank you.
Oh, my heart goes out to you. That is a horrible thing to discover. And I am so sorry that you're in the position that you're in and you had to discover that information. It sounds like you put so much trust into the relationship and he didn't, and he totally violated it. And I just am so sorry that you are going through the pains that you are going through. Heartache is like, oh, it's the worst feeling in the whole entire world. And when you're struggling with those questions of, do I want all the information or should I just move on? And it's like your brain and your heart can be saying two different things and pulling you in two different directions. It can feel, oh, so overwhelming. So I just want you to be so, so, so kind to yourself and really recognize that this is not a reflection of you or who you are in the relationship. This is a reflection of him and his inability to be open and honest and communicate and be faithful and a whole bunch of other things. And I get to say this because I am not being Sarah the therapist with a client right now. I'm just being Sarah the podcast host who happens to be a therapist. Do not take him back. What? Absolutely not. He is showing you the person that he is. No, 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 no. He does not get access to your heart if he's going to treat it like that. Sorry, sir. No, not, no can do. Not going to happen. So if I did not stress that enough and get loud enough, please, the takeaway from this, do not get back together with somebody who makes you feel like you can't trust them. Because if I know anything, people, they can change their behaviors, but if it values, morals, things like that, that can sometimes be more difficult to change. If he's somebody who, and what I look at is this is somebody who didn't just cheat, but continuously violated your trust over an extended period of time while probably saying all the things that were so wonderful that kept you in a relationship for 3 years. Oh, I love you. Oh, I will be with you. Oh, you're the only person for me. And that, it's the cover up. Like, the crime is bad too, but the cover up here is just extra, like, oh, I really don't want that for you for the rest of your life. I want your heart to be happy. I want it to receive the love that it deserves. And this ain't it.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
So, to answer that question of what do I do when I'm struggling to like seek clarity or get details or to just move on without knowing, this is a weird trick that our brain plays on us where we believe if we had all the information, then somehow it would explain everything and we would like not feel the feelings anymore. Your heart is going, oh my God, I am so hurt right now. There has to be an explanation, or maybe if I just know this and this and this, or maybe if I learned all the details, then I won't feel this hurt anymore. But the reality is, whether you find out all the details or not, that hurt is still going to be there because what he did was messed up. And your heart is going to hurt for a while. And that's what I want you to focus on. You know, you said a little bit about how you were putting yourself first and you're trying to do things to take care of you. That is what I want you to focus on. You know, I want you to look at what can you do to heal you? Who can you surround yourself with that makes you feel like yourself? Who can you, oh, I'm going to cry. It's so important, and heartache is like the worst thing in the whole world. So you got to be with people who love you, who see you, who support you, who are there to, that you could trust, so that you could see that you can trust people and that you can love people. And you have to see, like, friends are great for that. The ones who have been stable for your whole life, the ones who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that to you. Those are the people you need to be with. Those are the people you need to surround yourself with who will help you, you know, feel better. Oh, and you know, my heart just goes out to you because I have been there. I mean, it makes me cry because I know those feelings. I know those feelings of feeling like, you know, what did I do? How could I, maybe I could have done something different. And this is not on you. But there is something that you can do. You know, you did mention that this is something that's happened before, or that there may be a little bit of a pattern of this in relationships. And so when you are through the really tough part where you wake up every morning and cry, or, you know, all those kind of heavy feelings. And when you're like, once you're through the really heavy part and you like can kind of catch your breath again, then maybe that would be a great time to start looking at some of the patterns, some of the love that you are willing to accept. You know, I recently read this great quote, this great little bit that said, it is not our job to make somebody love us a certain way, or try to tell somebody or convince somebody of how they should love us. It is our job to show up as ourselves and then witness how somebody else loves us. And then we get to say, I choose this love. I accept this love, or I don't accept this love. And I want you to look at the love that he has given you and the lack of, well, maybe lack of love and the violation of trust. And look at that. And that is how he's willing to show love for you in those ways. Doing all that, being sneaky on the side, not being honest. Are you willing to accept a love that looks like that? I hope that you say, hell no. I want something more. I want a love that matches the energy that I'm putting into this, that comes with the faithfulness that and the expectation of monogamy that I have. I want you to do that. So when the time comes for and your heart is ready to maybe take a look at what you can do, talk to a therapist. You know, look at these patterns and say, what is it that is maybe attracting you to those kind of partners? What is it about that relationship or that relationship dynamic that may feel familiar to you? This might be a pattern that you witnessed in your family growing up, and now it's being played out in your relationships. And this is absolutely something a therapist can help with. But in this time, in this, like, it just took place, you know, like the dust hasn't settled. This is where you take care of you. And I really think that you do not need the details. We think that they're going to help, but they don't help as much as we think that they do. And instead, put yourself first, hang out with people who really love you and really support you, and pretend that you have like a carbon copy. I don't know if people still know what that is. A duplicate, a twin of you right next to you. And she's going through so much heartache, and she's dealing with this guy who was real shitty and cheated on her. What would you do for her? I bet you'd like take her out for drinks, or you'd like take her to the movies. And this is what I want you to do for you. Any energy that you would put towards a friend in that situation, allow your friends to love you, and then you love yourself. And know that you are not deserving of that in a relationship, and you absolutely can have a relationship that's filled with the love that you want and that you are deserving of, that comes with trust and honesty and good, healthy communication. And so I'm sending you all of the good vibes and like all the energy to heal your heart. And it is going to be hard. It's going to suck. Heartache hurts so bad, but you will get through it. And I actually have a fun trick. This is going to turn into a long answer to this question, but it's such a, I can hear like that pain in your voice. And I feel like it's so relatable. So I have a really great tool that I just learned. This is how to get over a shitty guy or gal or whoever person in 30 days. Are you ready? And you have to do every part of this, including like the print it out or write it out. So you're going to make or print a calendar. Has to be like, you have to write it, or it has to be something that you can physically write on. 30 days. And every single day you are going to write down one thing that you didn't really like about the relationship, or something that he did that maybe hurt you. Maybe like when you're saying, oh, I'm thinking back over all those 3 years and I'm like looking at everything differently. Maybe some of those memories. I remember when this happened, and now through this lens, I understand this, whatever it is. But each day, do a different thing. We could almost call it like an ick now, and a different thing that you don't like. And then every time you go to write down the next day's thing, or like, you know, the new thing that day, I want you to look back over the previous weeks or, you know, the previous days and read them. And I bet after 30 days, you will not want to get back together with him. So put that tool to use. I really hope this helps. Again, I am sending you all of the love in the world for your heart to just heal and take good care of yourself. And thank you so much for listening to the show. And keep listening so that we can talk about how to like repair and how to recognize healthy relationships in the future. So we get you with somebody who's really, really good and treats you awesome. Thank you so much for calling. Well, before we dive into our next question, let's take a quick break to talk about one of my favorite sponsors that seems to be something that I don't know, maybe it's like post-surgery, hormonal changes, stuff like that. Your gal is stinky. I'm going to go ahead and say it. But lucky for me, I have Lumi deodorant. And this is not like your regular ordinary deodorant, people. This is clinically formulated. There's little things like mandelic acid that goes in and like eats away at all of the bacteria, anything that causes odor. You smell bad because you have odor-causing bacteria on your skin. And Lumi goes in and is like, yum, 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 eat up all of that and you don't smell bad anymore. And it's like a miracle. You can use it from head to toe on any part of your body. They have amazing scents, and new customers will get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code TCE at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com, LumiDeodorant.com. You guys are going to love it. It is like so seriously safe to use anywhere. You can use it on your butt crack. You could use it on your pits. You can use it on your feet. You can use it on your thighs, everywhere. Formulated by an OBGYN. You guys are going to love it. So again, that is LumiDeodorant.com with our special offer code TCE for 15% off all Lumi products. Okay, back to our questions.
Hi, Sarah. I love the show. Just for context, I am almost 25. Wow. Yeah, I'm turning 25 this Friday. But I'm a 24-year-old woman. I'm in a long-distance relationship with a guy. Not just a guy. He's more than just a guy. But anyways, I'm very happy in it, obviously. So we are almost going on 2 years now, and we've been friends for years before that. While we've been in the same location, we've just gone long distance since I've been in school. But the main thing that I worry about sometimes, I can kind of feel like my attachment style, like, kind of kick it into gear. So I think my partner has a secure attachment style. I definitely have an anxious attachment style, for sure. But, like, in the relationship, I tend to be the talker. We both love the gap. We love the gap, but I am the main one who's the talker. And talking about emotions and feelings, stuff like that. The problem that I have, and I think this is because of my past relationships, is feelings of insecurity, which again are super rare in this relationship. It's literally the best relationship I've ever been in. I feel it's so healthy. It's so good. Part of me thinks that it might be because of the phone, that I can feel a little insecure sometimes. But usually when this happens, I feel so disconnected. And it'll be so abrupt in like the middle of a conversation. Again, though, this is really rare. And so we haven't really had the opportunities to like work it out either, because like in the moment, what I feel like I need most is like a hug. Like, I think that's what would really help me in the moment. And obviously my partner wants to work with me and try to figure out like, okay, what can I do to help? He tries to just listen to me, but then that makes me feel crazier because I'm thinking like, this is crazy anxious brain talking. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So you just made a big deal of something really small. And now you're trying to explain it away. Now you're making a bigger deal. Now it's a whole deal. Now you're just talking yourself in circles and making it worse. You're realizing this. You're telling him you're realizing this, but it's not making it better. But he's still listening, and so I just have to keep talking, and maybe if I keep talking, it's going to solve itself somehow.
Well, aren't you just the cutest darn thing that I ever did hear? You sound like a ray of sunshine. It is the cutest thing, and I don't say this often. You may know this if you've listened to the podcast since, you know, day one, but I get the feeling that you guys are going to make it. I get the feeling that this is a really, and I don't not say that because I don't see healthy relationships or people that are going to make it. I just don't like making predictions about something that I don't have any idea about. But this, I don't know. I am just getting like a download, like a vibe here that you guys are a good fit and you guys are good at talking and good at having like healthy communications. Like you said, it's a good, healthy relationship where you feel like you are more secure than you felt in the past. And I would agree with you. I think that the problem here might be the phone. It is so normal for you to long for your partner, for you to want a hug. You know, there's this great quote from Virginia Satir. She is a therapist, this one of the leading founders of like therapy movement. And she has a saying where she says, we need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and 12 hugs a day for growth. So I would imagine that you're probably really lacking in the hug department. And so it makes sense that you would want connection and that you'd get these little bubbles of anxiety or worry or fear that pop up when you don't have that partner then that right there to physically reassure you. You know, that is such an important part of a relationship, is can be for a lot of people, that physical touch and that feeling of connection. You know, they say that you can tell a couple, like how well a couple gets along, by their breathing patterns. And if their breathing starts to sync up, then it usually means that those two are in sync with each other. And if you don't have that other person to like help regulate you like that or give you those hugs, it can absolutely make those little like anxious attachment feelings bubble up. And so here's what I want you to do. Here's what I think you can do, given that you guys are in a long distance relationship. And, you know, like you said, sometimes when you like dump all of this, it can turn something that's like a non-issue, something that's maybe like a 2 out of 10 on this important scale, into something that seems like a 7 out of 10 because you talked about it so much, when really all you're trying to do is work through the like little things so that they don't become big things. I totally get this. I'm right there with you. Also right there with you in being a chatty gal. So, you know, we get each other. So the advice I'm going to give you that you can do on your own is be aware when those, or try to increase your awareness around those little moments where you feel those anxious feelings, where you feel that anxiety. You know, looking at what you can do to self-regulate before bringing it to your partner. It's not like, oh, I don't want to go to my partner. Like, you can't go to your partner with your needs. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what you can do to manage these symptoms, to manage these feelings, to manage some of the thoughts, to even help you identify or increase an awareness of the thoughts that you're having. What you can do in that moment to then, I don't know, kind of like run things through a filter. So when you do discuss things with your boyfriend, you feel a little more at ease. You know that when you do bring something to him, it's going to be something that you've maybe already tried to work on self-regulating around, you know? And it's okay that we have different attachment styles. You know, a good partner can be so helpful in healing that insecure, anxious, or avoidant attachment style. They are so good at helping us become more securely attached because they will show up and they will be consistent. It's kind of the opposite of that other caller. Like, that is what is like hurting an insecure or avoidant attachment style. This is the relationship where it sounds like he's reassuring you and letting you know that it is going to be okay. But it gets a little difficult when what you need is some physical connection and there's a big, you know, like distance between the two of you. And when you're just doing it over the phone is can be a real tricky one because our attention can often be elsewhere. There can be something that's, I don't know, maybe they're multitasking, or maybe they called you and they're in between activities and you know, just kind of focused on where they're going to be next. And that has nothing to do with you. That has everything to do with where they are and what's going on with them. And we don't want to be reading into any of those things or creating stories around things that aren't really happening. So maybe it's a matter of quality, not quantity. Can you guys have, you know, a few brief moments to check in here and there, but maybe instead of over the phone, do a video chat where you can see each other and there isn't maybe something distracting each of you in the background or whatever. You can really like give your partner the attention. Can you go on more like video dates where you guys can connect like that? And this just popped into my head. You know, I know he's not there to actually hug you. And I know you can only like put your arms around a pillow and pretend so much. But have you seen those little like, I think they're like bracelets or something like that, where each partner wears one, and then, and maybe they even have an app for this. I bet they do. And when the part, when your partner is like thinking about you or like has a thought about you, like they press the little button and it just lights up like where you are. I've heard about those, and I think that might be something that could be real cute because he sounds like a guy who is probably going to put the effort and put the work in, but you know, out of respect for you and what you're doing, go off going to school, which is awesome. You know, he's giving you your space and allowing you to pursue your interests. This all sounds like wonderful stuff. So maybe just some different tools or different things that you can try to connect more in smaller ways instead of maybe, I don't know, putting a lot of the pressure on like the telephone call, which is a thing where you can't see each other. And, you know, often like sometimes we feel more connected after a phone call, but it's definitely not going to be a replacement for, you know, IRL hangout with a hug. So yeah, that's my little piece of advice. You know, like recognize what you can do on your own when those feelings come up. Recognize the feelings and the thoughts around them. When you get those little anxious, like, oop, I like almost like little emotional burps that just like come up, like anxiety. And we just want it to be like that, like a little emotional burp where we could just like, whew, blow it out and then it's gone and it doesn't like ruin our day. And if we look instead at the thoughts that are attached to that feeling when it pops up, what are the beliefs? What are the and then what is the evidence for and against that? I always like to run all my thoughts, like put my thoughts on trial. Say, here's the thought I'm having. Doesn't care anymore and is talking to somebody else. I'm just saying that because the last caller, he's not doing that. Don't worry. Then you can run it through, like put it on trial, and you play the defense and you play the prosecutor and you say, okay, what's my evidence for this? What's my evidence against this? And then you also get to play the judge. And you say, what's the judge's ruling? Well, the judge rules that there's absolutely no evidence that he is doing anything else besides showing up for you. And also evidence shows he's real busy this week. Judge is going to side in favor of he's a great guy and we just need to take a deep breath and maybe understand like where that fear is coming from. Like, what is that? Where's that like attachment style for you like rooted in? And working with a therapist to answer those questions can always be so helpful. It always is. So yeah, that is my advice to you, to do as much self-regulating as you can before you enter the, you know, conversation or engage in a conversation with your partner. And then see if you can have more like face-to-face connection via video chat and stuff like that. And maybe save the phone for times when, or maybe put less, less expectations around the phone call. Maybe we could take some of the expectations off, just see as like, oh yeah, this is just like a quick chance to catch up, but I'm not going to feel like, oh yeah, I got to see him, I got to connect in that same way. So, also happy birthday. Congratulations. Happy birthday. And congratulations on having this wonderful relationship that you have, because it really does sound like you two are a good match. It sounds like you are joyful. And 2 years is about the mark. 2 years is about the mark to know like that you've seen who this person is consistently showing up for you. That is probably like they couldn't fake it for 2 years. So I think you have a great relationship, and I just wish you guys both the best. And, you know, school will eventually be over, and then you guys can be together and get all the hugs you need. And so in the meantime, maybe get some of those hugs from people that you love. Dogs are great. They give great hugs. And yeah, just have some physical contact to make you feel a little more connected and you know, to do that maintenance that Virginia Satir talks about. And I wish you the best. Thanks so much for listening. Well, before we dive into our next question, let's talk about one of my favorite new products and a wonderful Mother's Day gift. Mother's Day is right around the corner. And if you are looking for something for mom, skincare is where it's at. And if your mom is anything like mine, she like will do one pump of that. Actually, probably like four. You're going to have to tell her, no, one is enough. And she's going to put it on her face and go, it feels so good. I'm talking, of course, about OneSkin. And whether you are a biological mom, adopted mom, or pet mom, or you want to get this for your mom, everybody deserves healthier skin. And OneSkin is where it's at. OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide is the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Yeah, please turn those off for me. Thank you. It has been the product that I have been using only OneSkin for the past, let's see now, it's been about 3 months. I am getting so many compliments on my skin, and the amount of days that I just forget to wear foundation or any kind of concealer because I don't need it. And my skin's looking amazing, and yours can too. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code TCE when you check out at oneskin.co. OneSkin is the world's first longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code TCE at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code TCE. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support this show by telling them that we sent you. All right, now back to our questions.
Hi guys. I'm going through a painful relationship breakup. I'm having trouble accepting my best friend's decision to be engaged and move away. I'm only 23 and she's 20. 2 years ago, we were inseparable and talked about everything together. We went everywhere together. And one day she started seeing this guy who's just bad news. He'd been pursuing her for months, and she wasn't really into it because he was predatory towards her and other girls, including me. When we talked about this, she felt angry and hurt towards him. And from there, we both agreed that he was not a safe person to interact with, and we kind of just hated him together. And then months later, they started dating randomly, and he did not end his relationship with his then ex. He only ghosted her as soon as my friend showed interest, and his ex is a mutual friend of mine, which is why it was concerning. And I confronted her about this, and it was clear she didn't accept or value my input because it threatened what she wanted to believe. He said that he changed, and this is only like less than a month after this happened. But my role in the relationship has completely been replaced, and I'm not included with any of the planning of, or the, I'm not included in the wedding, and it's very private. So I know not to take that personally with the invitation, but yes, so the moral dilemma is because of this distance, the relationship lacks the endurance to communicate authentically. And I don't want to keep lying to her by telling her how happy I am for her. And I think this is the worst decision of her life. And I have many worries for her well-being. And I know more about his behavior that's very abusive, and it's very troubling to me because I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should silently let the friendship die off or tell her the truth and risking it all. How do I do it? Any advice you can provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much.
Oh, that is such a tough place to be in. I am so sorry that you are going through that kind of change, and it must be so confusing for you to have that kind of relationship history that you've witnessed with this guy. So, and from what I hear, I agree with you. Those do sound like grooming, like weird, like predatory behaviors. And I'm hearing he's isolating her. And the fact that you, her longtime friend, is not involved in any of this, this does sound like not a great guy, which like, you probably didn't need me to tell you that. You clearly already sense this and already know this. But the problem here is in these situations, it is very rare that somebody sees the light when we just show them the prop. Like when we go, he's terrible. He's like, Sarah says he's a piece of shit. Like they will not, if you are in that kind of relationship, it can be very hard to escape out of that. It can be very hard to hear those words from a friend and believe them because so much of the relationship has been designed for her to not believe those things or to feel like she needs the relationship in some way. And so as much as you, you know, want to be happy for your friend, I know two things. A, that this is not the situation where we need to be faking happiness. I do not think that you need to be like, oh, I'm so happy for you. And B, confronting her directly and saying this guy's terrible and you shouldn't be with him might probably won't be successful either. So that puts you in a very difficult situation because we can't control the actions of others. We cannot make her leave him. We cannot make her see the light on any of this. All you can do is create the safest and best environment that you can for her to recognize those things on her own or for her to reach out to you when she needs help. So what does this look like? This looks like saying, you know, you could voice your concerns. Say, you know, I want for you to be happy. I know that right now this, it sounds like this is what's making you happy. But if it ever does not make you happy, I am here and I will be there for you. And then you get to like be the supportive friend that you want to be. And it sounds like she already knows, you know, who this guy is, but maybe you letting her know that no matter what, you are you still love her and you still care about her and creating that safe place where she can come to you if anything happens, like that is really all you can do. And I think you're so accurate when you say, when you call it like a friend breakup, because friend, losing a friend can absolutely feel like a breakup. It can feel the same as that we go through that heartache, we go through that longing, we see them maybe with other people or living their life, and we're like, what the heck? I was such a big part of it before. I don't understand how she can just like carry on and pretend like I didn't exist. So there are going to be all of those pains from like all of those pains as you move through this, but it can be really challenging to confront somebody about this, you know, and that decision to confront her or not confront her is, I think in order to make that decision on whether you will or will not confront her, you're going to have to look at the impact on the relationship. How is this going to impact the relationship? Is it going to be like you express some concern and you express feelings of worry for her and she's going to isolate and pull back and like cut off connection even more? Or is there a way to say it where she can maybe, I don't know, hear a friend who loves her and who cares about her and just wants the best for her friend? You know, that is, it's going to be a hard thing to kind of weigh out, and you know your friend, you know, better than I do. But I also think that, I mean, she's 20 years old. She's very young. This guy sounds like ugh, a real piece of work, but it is, it's in a way not, it's our place to like support our friends, but, and we have to speak up when we see them doing something that could equal them getting hurt in some way or something that we see is like not good for them, but we can't make anybody not be with somebody. And sometimes there's a risk with that open and honest communication you know? At the same time, that open and honest communication may be what she needs to hear. It may be the kind of thing that might result in, I don't know, some more understanding. And, oh, it's, you are in a tough place. I really, like, am sending you, like, so much good energy to just, like, take care of yourself during this and, like, recognize that whatever decision she makes, whether it's to stay with this person or break things off, this is a decision that is on her. That is it. The, unfortunately, I, like, it's so shitty, really, that the only way that we usually learn these lessons, especially ones with toxic relationships, are from being in the toxic relationship. You can read about it all you want, but then you're like, well, that's not going to happen to me. And as somebody who has been in those kind of relationships, it does happen. And a bunch of people can say, like, I remember when I got married, like, I had a friend who was like, this is not for you. This is like, you are this, I don't feel like you are being your authentic self in this wedding and or in this marriage. And you know what I did? I shut her out. I isolated and I cut off from my friends who were caring enough to show me the truth. So I have been on both sides of this. I have seen people, I've been friends with people who have had shitty partners, and I've been like, don't be with them, and it doesn't do anything. And I've been on the side of it where I've received that information about a partner that I had that wasn't good for me, and I still didn't do anything. I was like, what do they know? And so since we know it's probably not going to work to show them, you know, what's right in front of their face, the best we can do is create that really loving environment that says, I'm going, no matter what, I will be here and your friend. And I hope that it is the wonderful relationship, but if it's not, I'm not going anywhere, and you don't need to feel embarrassed, or you don't need to feel like I'm never going to say I told you so. That is the, what I wish that I knew, and what I wish that my friend would have said instead of, he's like, this isn't the guy for you. I wish she would have said, I'm always going to be there for you, and I'm not going anywhere, and you, and I won't say I told you so. I won't throw this in your face. I won't, you know, weaponize this in the future. And if I had known that, I think it would have made it easier to leave a relationship that wasn't healthy for me sooner. So that, I think, is the thing that you can do as a friend, is you can just really reassure her that you are going to be here for her, but you also want her to be happy in her life. And if this is the relationship that makes her happy, then she can choose that. It does not mean that you have to be like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. I love this relationship for you. Do not be inauthentic. You can say, I wish you all the happiness, but also I want you to know that if there's ever a problem, I'm here for you. So I hope that helps a little bit. I understand this is like such a difficult situation to navigate, especially when you have the more awareness than she does. That is so hard. I think it also, you know, if there are things that you would think, if the tables were turned, you would want to hear, I would tell her. If you think, I would want to know this about my future partner, whatever kind of behavior it may be. She gets to choose whether she wants to believe that, and then what she wants to do with that information. If she says, like, if you tell her, oh, this guy's a shithead for reasons A, B, and C, and she goes, oh, yeah, I know reasons A, B, and C, and I choose, then, like we said in the previous call, that is how he's choosing to show love for her, and that is the love that she is willing to accept at this moment in her life. We hope that maybe in the future, in future moments, she's able to recognize that that's an unhealthy love and accept something different, or reject that love and say, no, I want something different. But until then, and until that awareness comes, probably from going through some pretty crappy relationships, all we can do is show up with love. So, you know, you're a good friend for caring. You're a good friend for reaching out. But you got to care without carrying. Care for her, but you can't carry the problems for her. You can't get her out of the relationship. She's got to make some decisions for herself. And I hope that helps. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And call in if you know, you with any updates. I'd love to know. Does she go through with it? Does she go through with the wedding after she learns all about this guy? Let us know. Well, you guys had some amazing calls today. Like, oh, my heart. I feel like I've gone on a little like emotional roller coaster with all of you. I got teary eyed in one of those there, but like, come on. Haven't we all been there with that heartache and the pain of relationships? Like, this is why I love this show. This is why I love when you guys call in, because your problems are my problems or our problems. We're all just people here trying to do our best. And so if you have a question, you've been listening, or you have a follow-up, maybe you're one of the callers and you have a follow-up, you know, call in. The number again is 313-338-8828. The lines are open, as they say, and you don't have to even talk to a real person. You can just leave a voicemail. And keep in mind, you have 3 minutes to leave the voicemail. But if you need to do a two-parters are great. We will edit it together and make it all magical and because that's what we do. And thank you guys again for listening to the show. Thank you so much for using our codes. That means so much. I love when I hear from you guys that you've used one of those. It makes my day. And I just adore every single one of you. And I'll see you next time on This Changes Everything. Bye.